You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Resolved, More Respect. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Jesus once said, "No one comes to the Father except by me." By me isn't Dale Meyer or Wallace Schultz or any other minister. We try on this program to bring Christ to the nations, and we pray that God grant a great blessing to our efforts. That being so, this program is not the way to heaven. Me is not the church. The church is not an optional part of a believer's spiritual journey. The church is God's appointed place where the gospel is proclaimed. Faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That makes the church a necessity as we journey toward heaven. But having said that, by me does not refer to the church, but rather to the Lord of the church. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And me is not you and your strivings. What is it that you're striving for? Is it better health? May you have it, but that won't bring you to heaven. Is it a better financial footing in this new year? May you achieve it, but that won't bring you to the Father. Is it improved family life? That's a great New Year's resolution to work and pray for, but even improved family life does not bring you to the Father. Even your spiritual strivings. People are striving for more spiritual content in their lives. You can see it everywhere you look. Our society is turning away from crass materialism. Entertainment Weekly says that Hollywood and pop culture are going gaga for spirituality. But even your spiritual strivings do not bring you to the Father. By me means Jesus. No one and nothing else. His death on the cross has forgiven your sins. His resurrection on Easter morning has assured you of eternal life. His Holy Spirit works through the gospel to draw you to the joys you can't imagine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Picture the way to the Father, that way to heaven, as a highway. Last week I borrowed the catchy phrase of an old TV commercial, "Stay in the lines are your friends." I talked about one of those lines, obedience to the truth of the law and the gospel. In short, that's the line of faith. But there's another line to Christian life and witness. If you want to help improve our society, you need to know about the second line on the Christian way to heaven. And that line is, no, I don't think I'll tell you just yet. I'll keep you guessing. Instead, I'll pass along a story from William H. Willimon, Dean of the Chapel and Professor at Duke University. He's recently written a book entitled The Intrusive Word. It's a good book. Dean Willimon tells the story of a young, on-fire college Christian who attended an evangelistic gathering that was filled with great fervor, with loud and long rah-rahs for Jesus. These college students were put on buses and sent throughout Philadelphia to witness their faith in Christ. Our young, zealous Christian friend was dropped off in front of a housing project. Now, I'll read to you what happened, just as Dean Willimon describes it. I walked down the sidewalk and stopped before a huge tenement house, related the student. I gulped, said a prayer, and ventured inside. There was a terrible odor. Windows were out. No lights in the hall. I walked up one flight of stairs toward the door where I heard a baby crying. I knocked on the door. "Who is it?" said a loud voice inside. Then the door was cracked open, and a woman holding a naked baby, peered out at me. "What do you want?" she asked in a harsh, mean voice. I told her that I wanted to tell her about Jesus. With that, she swung the door open and began cursing me. She cursed me all the way down the hall, down the flight of steps, out to the sidewalk. I felt terrible. "Look at me," I said to myself. "Some Mr. Christian I am. How in the world could somebody like me think that I could tell about Jesus?" We'll return to that young Christian later, because there is more to tell. I'm impressed by his zeal to help our troubled society by witnessing to Christ. But that requires more than just a simplistic recitation of the right Jesus words. Let's analyze his failed witness according to 1 Peter 3:15, which says, "Dedicate your lives to Christ as Lord. Always be ready to defend your hope in God when anyone asks you to explain it. However, make your defense with gentleness and respect." Our young Philadelphia friend had dedicated his life to Christ as Lord, and he was ready to defend his hope, just as Peter says. Peter also says to defend your hope when anyone asks you to explain it. But that woman in the housing project had not asked him to explain it. Then Peter says to make our defense with gentleness and respect. That's where I got the title of today's message, Resolved, More Respect. But the young man wasn't respecting that woman. What did he know of her situation? What did he know of her struggles and fears? He had an agenda of his own, and she happened to be his target. And finally, lest we miss the obvious, Peter says, be ready to defend your hope in God. Now I'm going to tell you. That's the second great line on the Christian way to heaven. The second great dimension of our life and witness to this society, hope. Are we Christians giving hope as we speak the right Jesus words? For example, if I were a young woman who had had an abortion and I was feeling terribly troubled by what I had done, how do you think I'd feel if I only heard words of condemnation from Christians who are opposed to abortion? Do you think I'd want to learn more about the church, more about Christianity, more about Christ? Wouldn't that strong condemnation, without any word of hope, push me away from the only way to the Father? We don't agree with abortion. But if we respect that person for whom Christ died, shouldn't we offer hope? Another example. If I were a person struggling with homosexual feelings and thoroughly confused about my own sexuality, how do you think I'd feel if all I heard from the Christian community was condemnation with no hint of hope? Do you think I would want to learn more about the church, more about Christianity, more about Christ? We don't agree with homosexuality, but Peter admonishes us to explain our hope with respect. And yet again, if I were dying from heart disease or cancer or AIDS or whatever else, how do you think I would feel if all I heard from the church were endless tirades about the evil status of people in our society? Or if I were dying emotionally because of separation, divorce, loneliness, wayward children, or what have you, do you think I would be helped in my difficulties by hearing the right Jesus words crammed down my throat? Or would I be helped more by the right Jesus words spoken with respect and offering me hope? Faith and hope are lines on the way to heaven, dimensions of our Christian life and witness. Listen again to 1 Peter 3:15. Dedicate your lives to Christ as Lord. Always be ready to defend your hope in God when anyone asks you to explain it. However, make your defense with gentleness and respect. Now let's go back to our young friend in Philadelphia. His simplistic attempt to witness to Jesus had failed miserably. But to his credit, he resolved to try again. And his new resolve was characterized by gentleness and respect. Let's pick up this continuing story as Dean Willimon relates it. I sat down on the curb and cried. Then I looked up and noticed a store on the corner, windows all boarded up, bars over the door. I went to that store, walked in, looked around. And then I remembered the baby had no diapers. The mother was smoking. I bought a box of disposable diapers and a pack of cigarettes. I walked back to the tenement house, said a prayer, walked in, walked up the flight of stairs, gulped, stood before the door and knocked. "Who is it?" said the voice inside. When she opened the door, I slid the box of diapers and those cigarettes in. She looked at them, looked at me, and said, "Come in." I stepped into the dingy apartment. "Sit down," she commanded. I sat down on the old sofa and began to play with the baby. I put a diaper on the baby, even though I've never put one on before. And when the woman offered me a cigarette, even though I don't smoke, I smoked. I stayed there all afternoon, talking, playing with the baby, listening to the woman. About 4 o'clock, the woman looked at me and said, "Let me ask you something. What's a nice college boy like you doing in a place like this?" So I told her everything I knew about Jesus. It took me about 5 minutes. And then she said, "Pray for me and my baby, that we can make it out of here alive." And I prayed. Hip, hip, hooray, he gave her hope. That's the kind of witnessing that Peter does encourage us Christians to do. She was terrified of getting out of that project alive. The young man prayed and took her despair to the God of hope. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." That young man directed her despair to become hope in God. And even more, he centered that hope on Jesus Christ. Remember, when she finally asked what a nice college boy was doing in the project, he told her about Jesus. Now his words were not simply recited Jesus' words, but they were good words from God for this woman's hopeless situation. Good words that the young man centered on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "We have been born into a new life that has a hope which is alive because Jesus Christ has come back to life." So, he showed her the way to the Father. You and I also are under marching orders of the Great Commission. Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep everything I have commanded you." But so often we church people devise grand utopian schemes for winning the world to Christ by such and such a date. But such grand schemes are more than any individual can accomplish. For you and I live our daily lives dealing with people one at a time. And that's exactly the place where we can witness and offer hope to this troubled society of ours. Maybe in the checkout line at the supermarket. Maybe on the commuter, train, or bus. Maybe talking with a neighbor. Maybe a coworker. Maybe a spouse. Society will not be renewed by grand schemes emanating out of capitals, but when we Christians live the life of faith and hope that is the way of Jesus, the way to the Father, the only way to heaven. No one comes to the Father except by me, by Jesus. We want to give the words of faith, the right words of Jesus that lead to heaven. But with gentleness and respect, we also want to offer hope. God is gentler with broken-hearted sinners than we zealous Christians often are. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 3 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Faith and hope lines on Christ's way to the Father. And what do you think the third line is? Faith, hope, and... I'll talk about that next week. For now, Let's witness to the faith, and with gentleness and respect, let's offer hope. Hip, hip, hooray for hope. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.